Many different kinds of styles contribute to what's now modern mainstream jazz. Can you describe your contribution as you see it?
Well, that would be pretty difficult to do. In the evolution of our music, perennially it evolves. And each age brings a new measure of awareness of music. And so what I did, I was the one, I guess, let me see what it is. I was the one who set I was one of the ones who brought that, and then rhythmically, I was, and of course Charlie Parker was the catalyst. He was the one who said through his music how the music was supposed to be played. Mm-hmm. And so when we came together, I said what, and he said how.
Uh-huh. That was my next question. Who else do you think were the major catalysts at that time?
Charlie Parker was the major one, because he set the style. Mm-hmm. And all of us fell in behind that. But we still had, up until that time, we were playing like fellas of the earlier, of the 30s. So everybody fell into that. So naturally, all the trumpet players that came behind me sounded like me, because I was playing this way and all of them went to play that way. So.
Mm-hmm. In addition to Roy Eldridge, who influenced you in the development of your own style?
Charlie Parker.
Who else would you say?
Well, I was influenced by everybody. Oh man, so many. Coleman Hawkins, Chew Berry, Lester Young, Vic Dickinson, Monk. A lot of drummers. Oscar Pettiford. I was influenced by almost everybody.
That's a good point, in that a number of times musicians of a different instrument will have a strong influence on others of a different instrument. You mentioned, you know, drummers and others. Can you think of a particular artist with another instrument who influenced you, or even some of other instruments who have told you that you influenced them?
Well, we introduced the whole spectrum of jazz, which included drums, bass, saxophone, trumpets, trombone. The whole picture changed. So but the ones who influenced me, I was mostly influenced by Charlie Parker.
Has there been anything comparable to the revolutionary post-war changes in jazz that you were a part of since that time?
No. The closest thing, there have been several phases of evolution of our music. One was Ornette Coleman with Don Cherry. Mm-hmm. But it didn't create an impact like ours, because we went through the whole spectrum. And then the next one was Coltrane, which is very prevalent now. The way that he plays, the saxophone players play like that now. So Coltrane was a big influence. It's probably maybe as much as our influence, I guess.
How did you develop your interest in using Latin rhythms with jazz?
I've been doing that for years. I was always a lover of Latin music. Played with a Latin band in the early days. A guy named Alberto Sacara. He's a flautist. Played in the Savoy Ballroom with him.
What directions in jazz today most interest you?
Rhythmically. because they seem to get the best in Afro-Cuban, the best in Brazilian, the best in Calypso, and then the latest development in our in American music. And that's what turns me on.
Can you describe the environmental changes that have taken place since you began in jazz, for jazz music and for the musician?
Well, in the early days, you either played one-nighters, a lot of one-nighters. Every now and then you would get a club to play. And then concerts weren't too hip then. There were dances. So you played dances and clubs. But now, I play with symphony orchestras. I play some clubs. I would play concerts instead of dances now. Our colleges, high schools, you know, education. I can say that kid takes in the head, education. TV, we get some TV.
Mm-hmm. How do you feel playing? The concert situation is so different from the dance. It makes music so much more a focal point of the event. How does that make you feel?
I like dancing.
You like
dancing? Yeah, I like dancing because dancing is, our music was meant for dancing first. All of the music of the Western Hemisphere, it goes hand in hand with dancing. The calypso is a special dance. The Cubans got a dance, the Congo, the rumba, and all of it. The Brazilians have the samba. So yeah, the only music that doesn't have a real, well, I guess our music does have something like that with the jitterbug.
Uh-huh.
That's the dancing to our jazz.
Sure. Which way do you see jazz heading? Do you have any predictions for the future and light?
It's heading towards more and more multi-rhythm and electronics too.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about the electronics?
We're here, we just really use it. It's here for us to use, so it does a lot of things that you can't do regularly with instruments.
Can you point out some promising musicians that you've noticed that maybe we should look for in the future?
We should look for John Faddis on the trumpet, Jimmy Owens on the trumpet, Oscar Beshear on the trumpet, Woody Shaw. This saxophone. There's a saxophone player with Art Blakey. I don't know his name. I know him when I see him, but he's very good. Let me see. This body. I'm only thinking about trumpets all the time.
I can see why. I wonder. You mentioned that you're doing some TV and schools in an educational kind of way. You held a workshop this afternoon. This seems to be the kind of trend of what you're doing lately. Do you have a special feeling about teaching young people about the kind of music you do?
Well, I'm preparing myself for later, see, because I'll be teaching quite extensively later, all over the world, actually. So I'm just remembering what I do now and the good thing, the things that add more impetus to the fight of education. I will be using that in the future and be cutting out the superfluous, some of the things that, you know, if you keep trying, you know, I'll be ready for it.
You seem to have a long career even ahead of you. You plan to be traveling around teaching, holding workshops like this all over the world then?
Yes.
What kind of things do you tell a group like this, a group of young musicians, high school students in this case?
Well, I noticed that most of the young musicians now, they have trouble with rhythm, with upbeats of rhythm, which is the basic beat of our music. And I take them with rhythm. I make them do it with their hands, and I make them hum it. Because our music is not only a music, too, but it's a language in itself. If I tell you, if you can't even speak English, and I tell you, I say, you have a phrase go, da da di di da di da da di di di. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, da 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 do da do ding ding ding. So you would play, you say, I want you to make it sound like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Ba da ba do beedle da bee, beedle ya do. You see, it's a language. Mm-hmm. And make them hum it. You know, foreigners can hum. If you tell them, you say, do, if you make a foreigner say, do, billy doo, billy doo doo, billy doo, billy boo boo, billy doo, billy doo doo, billy boo, billy boo, billy boo. Say, do that. They can do that and can't speak English, you know? So we have a language in itself and in our music.
So it's a matter of teaching them what accent to use with that language.
Phonetically. Yes.
Do you like what you see in these kind of workshops, the way that education is beginning in the schools?
They're moving forward. The musician is a higher caliber musician now than it was when I was coming up, when I was in high school. I couldn't play as well as these guys.